Well, I count it a very wonderful privilege to be here with you all and Laurenger again. I feel increasingly drawn to you because of your love, because of your hospitality, and I suppose most importantly, because I have an interest in all of us making it to heaven. Because the stakes are high. Eternity is a long time. And I am inspired, I'm challenged, and I'm impressed tonight to do everything that I can to make my calling and election sure. I believe it was mentioned last night, there is nothing in this life that is worth hearing those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Can you imagine hearing that from the Almighty God? To hear those words from God, the finality that goes with that. Sometimes we face things in life that it comes and it goes and there's no changing it. It seems final. But this is the very epitome, if you will, of something that is final. When the Lord says, "Come, ye blessed, enter thou into the kingdom of heaven." Or He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's it. That's it. There's nothing more. There's no do-overs. There's no resets. So I don't like video games. You have a reset button and you can make all the mistakes in the world and hit reset and keep right on rolling. And it's not like that. Life is serious. I want to do everything that I can to hear those words. "Well done. Rod, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And when I hear those words and know that it's for eternity, there will be no other words that I have ever heard that are so blessed as that. Amen. And so tonight, I'm inspired with the thought that we be challenged to be in a sold-out position for God. Amen. To be all in for the Lord. And you know what the wonderful news is tonight? You know that the gospel message that Jesus brought, it was good news. The message that He didn't come to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to say, "Well now listen, there's eternity ahead and there's a hell that's going to last forever. And I want you to know that you're not where you need to be. And oh boy, you ought to be fearful. And turn around and walk away from it." That wasn't the message He brought. The message that He brought was, He came and He brought words of life. And He paid the price. And He said, "I'll pay the price. You just come and follow me. You be willing to leave all. You can be in a sold out position." You say, "Well Lord, I don't have enough money even for a down payment." And He says, "No, the price is paid. You can be in a sold out position for the Lord." And I want to tell you something, that the dividends that are our reward in this life are incalculable. And the principle is sure. And it is ever increasing. And it is available to every single person in this chapel tonight. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what your background is, regardless of what failures may be in your life, Jesus is extending the invitation. And He's saying, "Come, follow me, be in a sold out position, I will take you through." Be encouraged tonight. I'd like to have your attention. I'd like to start in the 22nd, no, let's start in Philippians. We'll start there first, in the second chapter of Philippians. In Philippians 2 and 5, the Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now I'd like you to turn with me to the 22nd chapter of Luke. The 22nd chapter of Luke and the 39th, we'll start in the 39th verse. And it said, this was just before Jesus' crucifixion. It said, and He came out and went, as He was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Matthew's account said He went a little farther, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And then we know the story. He went on to do the will of his Father and was crucified. I remember reading a story, and whether it was fiction or nonfiction, this story has repeated itself, no doubt, many times in life. It was a military or a rescue mission, and there were a few select men that were chosen to go on a very high-risk mission. And before they went on the mission, the leader of the group, he looked into the eyes of the first man, and he asked him a question. He said, are you all in? And the man looked at him, and he said, I'm in. And he looked at the next man, and he said, are you in? And he said, I'm in. He wasn't asking them, are you going to go? He knew they were going to go. That was their mission. He wanted to know, is your heart in this? Are you willing to give your all? Do you realize that if you are not in the place where you're willing to give your life, you can put the rest of our lives at risk? You can put the lives of the people that need to be helped at risk? And he looked at the next man and he said, are you in? And he said, I'm in. And he looked at the next man and he said, are you in? He said, I'm in. He said, let's go. And I wonder tonight if the Lord was here and He came physically in our presence and He walked to each one of us and He said, Bob, are you in? Are you in? And He went around to each of us, said, Rod, are you in? If the Lord asked us that question, the Lord who knows my heart, the Lord who knows what I think about, He knows the decisions that I made yesterday. He knows how I spend my time. He knew where I went. He knew how much time that I spent in the Word. He knew whether I took the time to sit down with my family and have family worship in the evening and gather them together when maybe it wasn't convenient. And He knew that. And He knew everything that I had done and was going to do, and yet He still looked in my eyes and asked me the question, and He said, Rod, are you in? Are you all in? What would our answer be? What would your answer be tonight? Did you know that it is a relevant question? It's a relevant question that the Lord is asking you. He's inviting you to be in. He's inviting you to be in a sold out position. Did you know that your life's at risk if you're not? Did you know that your children's lives are at risk if you're not? Did you know that those that come after you, their lives are at risk by the decisions that you make? And it's serious. And it's a relevant question for today, not tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow's going to come. Well, tomorrow, tonight, the Lord might knock on Brother Dick and Sister Brenda's door and say, "Is Rod here? I've come for him. It's his turn tonight." There's nothing worth risking being able to live our lives every day so that we can say, "Lord, by the grace of God, I want you to know I'm in. I'm sold out, Lord. And Lord, if I'm not sold out in a place, oh God, have mercy on me. And help me understand what it is in my life that would keep me from being able to meet you in peace. Because I don't want to hear those words, 'Depart from me,' because I don't get to do it over again. Life is but a vapor. And it just appears for a little time and then it's gone. And then eternity. It has no end. It's forever. And so what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to trade? What are you willing to trade so that when the Lord asks you, "Are you in?" you look at him and say, "No, Lord, I gotta tell you tonight, I'm really not all in. There's some other things in life that are really kind of more important to me, and I want you to know that, Lord, I'm not all in. There's a few other things I'd like, maybe someday, maybe when I have a more convenient season." Does it sound familiar? King Agrippa, Felix, "Almost, Lord, you persuaded me, but I'm not all in." Would you tell the Lord that? Did you know that I believe that is why at the judgment there will be many speechless people? Because what are you going to tell God? There's nothing to say. And you know what? Every one of us, we're going to meet Him. It's an appointment that you don't get to put on your schedule. That's the Lord's schedule. He gets to decide when that day is for you and for me. And yet I feel like sometimes we're asleep. We're asleep. And I wonder if sometimes the Lord feels like coming by. Well, he came by and he didn't shake the disciples. But he told them, he said, "Get up, rise. Why are you sleeping?" And I used to read that. Growing up, I would read that and I'd think, they were with Jesus. How could they sleep? How could they possibly sleep? Not once. He came and woke them up once, remember? And then it said he went a little further. And then he came back to them and they were sleeping again. And I thought, how can they do that? And then I finally come to realize it is happening all around us. The Lord comes and He brings His gospel. And He brings warnings. And He says, "Wake up. You're going to meet me. It's going to be your time. Wake up. Pray that ye not enter into temptation. Because the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And you're going to have something on hand greater than what you have on hand. Yes. And we wake up and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then we go right out those doors and become a man that the Scripture tells us in James was like a hearer, but he wasn't a doer. And he beheld himself in a glass, but then he went out and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. And the way is broad to the way of destruction because it has to accommodate all of the people who saw what manner of man and woman they were and who were asked by the very Son of God to arise and to wake up and to pray and went back to sleep. And the way to destruction has to be broad enough to accommodate those people because they went back to sleep. And they neglected the call of God to come and to be in a sold-out position. The Lord was in a sold-out position. We just read the account. And he had the decision rights. He could have taken a different way. And he could have said, I'm not going this way. This is too painful for me. I can't bear this. I know it's right, but I just can't. Father, please have mercy on me. I know it's your will, but I just can't do it. But he didn't. And he went a little farther. And it wasn't so that he could go to heaven? No. It was so you could go to heaven. It was so that you could escape an eternity in hell. That's why he did it. Does that not give you pause? Because he knows what hell is about better than I do. And he knows what heaven's about better than I do. And because of that, he was willing to die a brutal death, not for himself, but for the very ones that drove the nails. Amen. Because he realized the stakes Yes. that were involved. Are you willing to go farther? How committed are you tonight? Are you all in for the cause of the Lord? Or are you holding back? Do you remember the call of Jesus to His disciples when He came to them and He called Peter and Andrew? What did He say? What were His words when He went by them? Pardon? Two words. He said, follow me. And do you know what they did? What did they do? They left their nets. They left their nets and they followed the Lord. And the Lord tonight is coming by our way and He's saying, follow me. Follow me. I have the words of eternal life. Peter and Andrew, hey listen, I have good news for you tonight. I have what you're looking for. I have the answer for you. You all get up every morning and you strive to catch fish, to make a go of it, and to find purpose in life. And he said, I've got a deal for you. I'm going to pay the price for you. You just come follow me. Hook up with me. Have some faith in me. I have you covered. Follow me. And you know what happened? They bought into it. That's right. They bought into it. You know why they bought into it? Because there was a price they paid too. Oh, it was worth it. You know what their price was? They left their nets. They left their nets to follow Jesus. Can you imagine what it would have been like if they said, "Well, hold on, Lord, we're right behind you." And they got their, these weren't just poles with a hoop on the end of it. These were nets that they threw out into the water. These were big nets. And can you imagine the disciples saying, "Hold on, Lord, we're coming," and grabbed onto their nets and started dragging their nets through town. Can you imagine what that would have caused? The Lord would have had them in stop and just every once in a while so they could unhook their nets from everything it was catching on to. Say, "Come on, y'all. You're slowing things down. I have the answer to you. What do you have your nets for? We're not even at the water. We're walking through the streets. That's not where the answer is." And people are dragging their nets through dusty towns, and people are looking at them saying, "What are they doing?" Well, that's their nets. They're trying to find fulfillment. Well, somebody needs to talk to them. There's not any fish here on the concrete. And do you know what we do? We do the same thing. Well, we take our nets. We take the things that all seem so important to us in life. Seem like the things that we just can't let go of. I could name them. The entertainment of this world has captured our attention. It's captured our attention. All the games and the shows and the music and the movies and all of the things that stimulate my eyes and my ears. And you know what the world does to draw in Christians? It's really easy. All they have to do is just take what they have to offer and write "Christian" on it. Well, then you're good. Then you can watch Christian movies and listen to Christian music and go to places where those that walk in darkness dwell but there's Christians and everything's good. But do you know what you're doing? Well, you're dragging your nets through a dusty street. And there's no fish to catch. And there's no fulfillment. And you come home when you pattern your life after those things. And you say, "Lord, I want to follow you." And maybe you really do. And there's a lot of people who really want to follow the Lord. And they're trying. And they can't figure out why they're not satisfied. And the Lord keeps stopping and saying, "You don't need that. You don't need that net. If you would just let go of it and drop it, I have the answer for you. I can supply your needs. I can fulfill your hopes. I can give you eternal life." Oh, but we're like Peter. Don't get me wrong. Peter is about one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But we're like Peter. The Lord says, "Come on out." And Peter says, "I'm coming, Lord." And he gets out of the boat, something most of us wouldn't do. And he starts walking towards the Lord. But then he gets his eyes off of the Lord. And we'll let go of our nets and start to follow the Lord. And then the enemy comes along and says, "Whoa, you can't possibly go through life depriving yourself of that. You can't be satisfied not participating in that. Why, you know your life is involved with listening to that. Why, you know that you get so much satisfaction going there. You can't do that." And so then we look around and we try to figure out, "Well, I still want to serve you, Lord. Oh, hold on, I'm coming." And we pick our nets back up. And then lo and behold, we find that all of a sudden we can't figure out why we're not satisfied. And we pray about it. And we pray, "Lord, help me be more consecrated. Lord, help me know what your will is. Help me know what you want me to do." And we're walking through where no fish are with nets. And the Lord keeps saying, "Drop your nets. Follow me. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you seek me first, these other things I'll add to you." Nicodemus came to Jesus in the third chapter of John, and he said, "What must I do? What must I do to get eternal life?" What do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Old things need to pass away. You need to be willing to die out to yourself. I have an experience for you that isn't just a modification of your current state. It's a new song. It's a new heart. It's new desires. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact when the enemy says, well, you can't live without that. You know that's who you are. I want to tell you something. The Lord came to change who you are. And He'll change you to where that the things that you desire and the things that you want are different than they were before. And then He will supply and give you what you need in life. That's the God we serve. It's a good news gospel. It's not a gospel that the enemy likes to present to us. Well, don't consecrate too far. It's okay to get saved, but hold off on that sanctification, Holy Ghost thing. I mean, pray about that for a while. Pray long and it's okay to be saved, but don't get too carried away with the consecration thing. In fact, make sure that you've given everything up before you go to the Lord, because you're probably not ready until you get there. That's the enemy that is trying to stifle and to get in the way of the victory that the Lord has for us. The Lord wants to give you something new, and He wants us to be alive for Him. Yes, there's a cross. Yes, there's some denial that takes place. Let's read. It says in the 16th chapter of Matthew, what did He say? He said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Well, there's a cross. Yeah. But make no mistake about this. If you don't take up the cross of Christ, let me tell you about a cross that's a whole lot heavier to carry. There is a cross that you will bear in the world. And it's heavy. The enemy, I read somewhere, he tries to paint a wooden cross and make it look like it's, you know, steel. And we draw back from it. But it's just a wooden cross. And the Lord helps us carry it. But I want to tell you something. If you think that that's a cross, you let go of the Lord and go after your own way, and you will find the truth of the verses that say, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And often you will find it out too late. Too late to avoid the pain and the suffering and the disappointment that comes with trying to go your own way. So, well, I know what I want. That way isn't for me. Be careful. Amen. Yes, there's a cross to bear living as a Christian, but oh, the payback. The Lord gives us so much in return. He gives you what you want. In fact, and this is something the world doesn't understand, He gets us to the place where we see the good in carrying our cross. And when we find that cross is the very thing that helped us get where we need to be more satisfied. That's the Lord we serve. It's because He has our best interest at heart. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Answer that question to yourself. Well, we like to avoid that sometimes. We don't like to spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. You know why? Because it brings with it responsibility, and it brings with it a reality that you're going to lose if you take that road. Amen. Amen. And so we put our blinders on, and we just continue to go. And the Lord's saying, I tried. Come, follow me. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, listen to this. This is sobering. Then shall He reward every man according to his works. Are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable tonight being rewarded by your works? Jesus came and He told the church, He said, I know your works. And he knows your works. And He knows my works. Remember at the beginning of the message, we talked about if Jesus were to come and say, Rod, are you all in? Are you in a sold out position for the Lord? And he knows my works when He's asking me that question. And he told the church, He said, I know your works. And I know that you're not hot and you're not cold. Well, you're a church. You come, you're following doctrines perhaps. You're carrying your lantern. You're with the number, but you're lukewarm. And it takes something more to keep us hot or cold. If we don't have energy that is constantly supplied, we'll just naturally go to room temperature. And the spirit of the world gets to decide what room temperature is. And if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord with us, we're going to be lukewarm. And the Lord said, I know your works. And when He tells us that, I don't get to say, well, can we talk about it? Lord, I'd like to talk about my works. And I want to explain to you some things. I'm going to be as the man that was speechless that went in without his wedding garment on. He went in and he wanted to enjoy the benefits of the table that God had prepared. Don't we all? Remember, there were some that didn't even come. Do you remember that? He went out and he said, tell them all to come in. I prepared a table and I want them to come and I paid for it and all they need to do is come in. And a lot of them went away. And they said, well, we have other things to do. And so then he told them to go back out there and give a call again. And he did, and there were people that came in. And I think of the story of Gideon, and I've preached on this a lot of times. There were those that given the option, they went away and they didn't go to the battle. But then there were a whole bunch of people who said, we'll go. We'll sacrifice some things. We'll pay a price. We'll go. And they went. But they kind of went on their own terms. See? When it came down to sacrifice a little bit, when it came time to drink some water, they didn't want to let go of, they wanted to let go of the very thing that was there to protect them. And they wanted to set that aside because they felt like that they could afford the risk. They didn't feel like that they would get caught then, because after all, they were going to pick it back up. And I can't enjoy drinking as well when I'm trying to drink like this. So I think I can do both. I was willing to go to battle. I was willing to say, yes, I'll go. And, oh, now it's time to drink. I'm going to set this aside for a moment. And I'm going to drink and to where it's satisfying. And then I'll pick my stuff back up. Do you think that happens with us ever? I wish I had time to just keep talking about expounding on that, but may God help us all realize that happens with us often on things. We want to go, we tell the Lord we'll go, and then He talks in this still small voice, and when it touches something that is satisfying us, we want to kind of do it our way and on our own terms. And the Lord sent them away, and He said, I can't get glory in that. And the man that came to the wedding feast, he came and he decided he was going to wear his own garment. And he came in and he wanted to enjoy. He didn't go home. He came. He was willing to be with the number. But he came on his own terms. And it wasn't because he didn't know any better. He knew better. He knew better. But he didn't care enough and wasn't interested enough. And he wasn't sold out. And he wasn't all in. And so he wanted to do it kind of his way. And so he did. Maybe he thought he could go unnoticed. But he didn't, and he couldn't, and we won't.
Amen.
And the Lord came to him and he asked him a question. He said, "Well, where's your wedding garment?" Did he have a whole lot to say? It said he was speechless. He didn't have anything to say. And the Lord said, "Take him away. Cast him in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Take him away." And he turned. I don't know if he turned. I suspect he did. Can you imagine the Lord turning His shoulder to you? With no chance of Him ever facing us again? I fear that, I mean, the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, that was a parable of the Lord. And for whatever reason, He said half were wise and half were foolish. And I'm afraid that there's some here tonight that if the Lord came by and called your name tonight, you wouldn't be able to have a testimony that I'm in. I put my wedding garment on. And you don't know when the Lord's going to call your name. You don't know that. I think that the account has relevance today. And I think that Isaiah's prophecy in the 4th chapter in the 1st verse has relevance today. He said, "And in that day, 7 women will take a hold of one man and say, we want to wear our own clothes, our own apparel. We want to present ourselves like we want to. And we want to eat our own bread and we want to kind of do it our way, but we want to be called by your name to take away our reproach. We don't want to just walk away from you completely, but we want to do things kind of our way." The Lord is going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." He told these people, He said, "Because you're lukewarm and you're not hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know ye not that ye are miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel of you to buy of me," what does it say? "Gold tried in the fire." And the Lord is coming to us tonight and He's saying, "Examine yourself." He gave them opportunity. That's the wonderful news. He's giving us opportunity too. You don't have to sit there tonight if you're in this place and think, "Oh my goodness, that's me. I'm going to be lost." That's if the Lord comes. But today's the day of salvation. And He's giving every person here tonight opportunity to say, "Oh Lord, I want to be in a sold out position. I'm all in." And the pearl of great price, the man that sold all his little pearls, the field that had the treasure in it, the man had to sell everything. You know why they had to sell everything? Because it cost him everything. That was the price of eternal life. And it's the price today. That's still the price today. And yet the enemy is trying to come and say, "Well, wait a minute. This is a different age. You can keep that little pearl and you can still buy it. And sometime back, the Lord gave me a message, and I believe I was in with the saints in Prattsville, and where Isaiah taught us how we learn. And he said we learn line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. You know that the Lord is so merciful to us? He doesn't just drop it all on us at the same time and try to crush us and say, this is the way, walk ye in it, and crush us in the meantime. That's not what He does. He comes and He says, follow Me. And there are times we're dragging nets and we don't even know we're dragging the nets. And the Lord has mercy on us. And we may be years down the road and the Lord says, hey, I want to show you something wrong. The reason you're struggling is because that's really a net. That's a weight that you're carrying. And if you just drop that off, you'll have what you need. That the Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful to us that way. But did you know that the enemy attacks us in much the same way? He comes along and he tries to steal here a little, there a little. He tries to steal a little line here and a line there. Tries to make it not such a big deal. You ever seen termites or carpenter ants? They can cause so much damage and you never know what they're doing. The outside structure might look fine, but you let that go for a while and you find that things start crumbling. And the enemy tries to do the same thing with us. He tries to hollow us out spiritually. We must tonight, we must be willing to be sold out for God. Be willing to be all in. Be willing to be on fire for God. He doesn't want a lukewarm experience. He's looking for a sense of urgency. He's looking for a dependable people. Because there's an end. And we're all going to face the end. It's real. And so the Lord comes by our way and He invites us to invite Him in. And He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will open the door and let Me come in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and he with Me and I'll show you the way of life. Amen. And I'll give you what you could never buy on your own. Amen. Saints, hold on to salvation. Hold on to the precepts. Hold on to the doctrines that have been taught. Hold on to those things that the enemy would say, well, that's not such a big deal. Be willing to go a little farther. Your life's dependent on it. Your children are depending on it. The Lord's saying, wake up. Abraham made it. He went into a land he didn't even know where he was going. And he said, I'll go. Noah got up for 100 years with people scorning the way he was living. But he did it. And Jesus went farther when he didn't have to. And some of our mothers and fathers have done it. Our grandparents have done it. And they got down to their deathbed. And they were ready to go. Amen. And they had the testimony, I fought a good fight. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. And henceforth there's a crown of righteousness that is there, that's for me, and it's not for me only, but it's for every single person who loves His appearing. And you know who will love His appearing? It's those that are in a sold-out position. Amen. Don't go halfway. Half-hearted devotion's cheap. It's a dime a dozen. It's unacceptable. Amen. Be willing to make the Lord's cause your cause. Make His commission to go into all the world. Make it your cause. Amen. Start in the home. Don't let your children get away from you. Read about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. We say, well, I don't... Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all those things, idolatry, we don't do those. Be careful. We let those things come right into our house. Brother Ed talked about it some last night. If you're not very careful, you let it come right into your home. You say, well, I'm not doing it. I didn't do that. But the Scripture says, remain unspotted from the world.
Amen.
Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't walk the way of the sinner. Don't go that way. Don't spend your discretionary time and being entertained by those that are fulfilling the lust of the flesh and doing the things that the Lord said not to do, and then be deceived into saying, well, I don't do that. That's not a sold-out position. A sold-out position is not always easy. I'm not trying to make it sound like it is. It's not. There's times it's tough. Sometimes you have to flee temptation. But you know, when the Lord was tempted, and the enemy said, well, God can give you strength for that. His angels, He'll pick you up, the Lord said. And He also said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. And yet people who aren't in a sold-out position, they tempt the Lord. They tempt the Lord and say, well, the Lord have grace for me. I'll overlook that. And they let things in their lives, and they go places, and they watch things, and they listen to things. And they say, well, I'll overlook that. And the Lord said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't do things that are wrong and then pray for grace to keep your heart clean. That doesn't make any sense. God's looking for a sold-out people. God's looking for someone who can look at Him and be a dependable servant of the Lord and say, I'm in. I'm all in. It's a message of hope tonight, because the Lord paid the price. And if we're willing to give our lives and put it on the altar, the Lord's saying, come follow me. I want to live tonight so that if the Lord comes my way and He says, Rod, are you in? Looking at me with expectation and hope, because that's what He's doing to all of us. And if He knows I'm not, He's saying, will you be in? I want to say, I'm in. Pray for me.